I picked up a little soundbite from a film, True Detective. You might have seen it, Matthew McConaughey. And the other one, I forgot his name. But anyhow, I thought this was pretty amusing, so I cut the clip out of the film to run it for you.
He's a failure.
And I forgot to tell you, this was these two detectives had gone to this tent revival meeting. They're looking for a guy. But the conversation between the two detectives is very interesting. One is agnostic, maybe atheist, but pretty logically speaking. The other one's sort of nominal Christian, but he's a rounder, he's a whoremonger, he's a drunk. So let's listen to this interplay between these two detectives as they're standing at the back of this crowd out of nowhere's land in a revival tent.
Where is natural?
Parish FD said the church burned down 4 months earlier. No prints. Put out an APB on Friends of Christ. A week later, they were in Franklin. Revival ministry, old time religion. You can imagine what Mr. Charisma thought of that.
Who do you think the average IQ that this group is, huh?
Can you see Texas up there on your high horse? What do you know about these people?
Just observation and deduction. See a propensity for obesity, poverty, the yen for fairy tales. Folks putting what few bucks they do have in a little wicker basket's being passed around. I think it's safe to say that nobody here is going to be splitting the atom, Marty.
You see that? Your fucking attitude. Not everybody wants to sit alone in an empty room beating off the murder manuals. Some folks enjoy community, the common good.
Yeah, but the common good's got to make out of fairy tales, and it's not good for anybody.
Your sorrows pin you to this place. They divide you from what your heart knows. And there are a lot of good hearts out there. I've looked out there. I've seen a lot of good hearts out there. I see a lot of good out there.
I mean, can you imagine if people didn't believe what things they'd get up to? Exact same thing they do now. Just out in the open. Bullshit. It'd be a fucking freak show of murder and debauchery, and you know it. If the only thing keeping a person decent is the expectation of divine reward, then, brother, that person is a piece of shit. And I'd like to get as many of them out in the open as possible.
I guess your judgment is infallible, piece of shit-wise. You think that notebook is a stone tablet?
What to say about life? You gotta get together. Tell yourself stories that violate every law of the universe. Just get through the goddamn day. What's that say about your reality, Marty?
When you get to talking like this, you sound panicked.
You think it's all a scam, huh?
Mm.
All them folks?
Mm-hmm.
They just wrong?
Oh, yeah. Been that way since one monkey looked at the sun and told the other monkey, he said, for you to give me your fucking share. People. So goddamn frail, they'd rather put a coin in a wishing well than buy dinner.
Jesus Christ, your arms are open and closed. The echoes of my life can never continue to see the truth about you. You move the feather in the ash, you touch the leaf with its flame.
Transference of fear and self-loathing to an authoritarian vessel. It's catharsis. He absorbs their dread with his narrative. Because of this, he's effective in proportion to the amount of certainty he can project. Certain linguistic anthropologists think that religion is a language virus that it rewrites pathways in the brain, dulls critical thinking.
Well, I don't use $10 words as much as you, but
For a guy who sees no point in existence, you sure fret about it an awful lot. And you still sound panicked. At least I'm not racing to a red light.
White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy, here in the bunker right here in North Central Indiana. Yeah, I better turn my mic around here so you can hear me spiel here. Yeah. P.O. Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And that's where you send your moolah, your donations for the radio show, and it's time to get them in. This is, well, this is the 30th. Yeah, you can wait till tomorrow, January 1st. And I hope you have a happy new year. And you wipe out all your enemies. Wait a minute, did I say that? Well, Charlie Sheen said he advocated that God kill President Obama. Charlie Sheen said that. I don't see so far the Secret Service running out there to Charlie Sheen's place. Seems like when the Jew left say things, they get away with it a lot more than the Jew right. I'm going to do something I don't do very often, and that is run something that, from a right-wing blog that I'm pretty pissed off at because they hate white racists. They totally, absolutely despise white racists, and they say it every day. They start every programming day off with Andrew Breitbart, who is dead, saying how he despises all people who feel racially, and he loves all the people who are non-white and are into diversity and all that. So, and then he runs a right-wing conservative so-called program, Breitbart, the Breitbart Network. But there was a guy who appeared on there this morning that has written articles and books, so he's not actually a Breitbart, but he's wrote some pretty good stuff, and I see that Obama wants to put 4,000 troops, boots on the ground in Eastern Europe next to Russia. He's shipping hundreds of tanks over to Europe just to bug the Russians. This son of a bitch has gone crazy. He says, I can't, my history is destroyed, so I'm going to try to destroy the whole country. And I'm not going to go back to Chicago where my butt buddies would probably kill me. However, he could go back and see Larry Sinclair, the homosexual that outed him, and outed him on drugs, too. So anyhow, that's that. Anyhow.
Big news about President Obama's decision to sanction Russia and kick out 35 Russian diplomats out of the United States over the entirely unfounded and evidence-free allegations that Russia somehow was involved in hacking the emails of the Democratic Party officials. Lee, thanks for joining us here on Breitbart News Daily.
Matt, thanks for having me. Appreciate it. So let's get into this, because I think this is one of the biggest underreported stories of the past few months. And specifically, it's the way that the Obama administration has been ratcheting up tensions with Russia. Now, this goes back to June, and it probably goes back before that, really, but this goes back specifically to June. You'll remember that's the time that the DNC hacks came out.
Right.
And so let's first off...
It was right before the Democratic National Convention.
That's exactly right. So let's be clear about a couple things in the hacking that I don't go into in the article, because I was trying to keep the article relatively concise. But let's talk about a couple things, make people smarter about what's going on there. First off, there were two distinct hacking incidents. One involved the DNC and the DCCC. I may have too many C's in there, but that's the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee and the Democratic National Committee. Those hacks, the information was released by an online personality, I don't know how else to put it, called Guccifer II. I've been in contact with Guccifer II. I'm one of only about a few hundred people they follow on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And the accusation by a company called CrowdStrike is that Guccifer II is actually Russian intelligence. Now, let's hold on to that for 1 second, and let's talk about the other hack. The other big hack, you'll remember, was the Podesta emails.
Mm-hmm.
The John Podesta emails are not part of the Guccifer releases. Does that make sense?
Right.
In other words, he did the stuff on DNC and the DCCC. He did not do the Podesta emails.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing you have to understand is there is not even a claim that Russian intelligence was behind the Podesta email leaks. Because what they do is they look at the Guccifer hack, they look at the Guccifer release, then they tie that to Russian intelligence, but he had nothing to do with the Podesta hacks. So that's part one of, you have to understand, they're literally not making a claim on that.
Mm-hmm.
Part two is, there is nothing in any material that they released that clearly connects Guccifer to the groups that they're saying are doing the hacking. In the FBI and DHS report that came out yesterday, they call the groups APT 28 and 29. They're also referred to as other names like Pondstorm and Cozy Bear, right? These are other names they're used by. But there's nothing to connect that to Guccifer II. So as we point out, and Matt, you know this, the mainstream media is acting as though this is a given, it's been proven that the Russians were behind the attack, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I think, Matt, like me, you are probably open. If evidence comes out that Russia's behind this, you know that Breitbart will be among the first people to report that.
Yeah,
right?
Except they haven't presented evidence, in as far as we know, the intelligence community hasn't presented evidence to key government officials, whether that be the, you know, I mean, we know that they, because I know you had this in your story yesterday, that they haven't presented evidence of Russia hacking, involved in any hackings. To the House Intelligence Committee. So if they haven't presented it there, then that means they probably haven't presented it to the White House, which means that the White House is probably, when they're sanctioning 35, kicking out 35 Russian diplomats without evidence, President Obama is severely, I think, abusing his power as the chief executive, as a lame duck president who was just rejected by the American people, 30 and a half U.S. states, 306 electoral votes just rejected Obama and his political party by electing Donald Trump instead of the Hillary-backed, the Obama-backed Hillary Clinton. And on his way out of office, he's now abusing the Oval Office authority by targeting baselessly, without evidence, Russian diplomats. So again, that's not to say that we need to go be buddy-buddy with Russia. I'm not saying that at all. And that's an important distinction. It's just that you can't, and maybe there is an argument to be made for sanctions against Russia. Of course, we've seen several top Republicans have made that argument that the sanctions should have been done a long time ago. But to do it now without evidence based off of this charge is extraordinarily dangerous.
Well, and I think that, you know, let's talk about a couple of those top Republicans who've come out against this, in particular John McCain. The other aspect of this, and this is the underreported aspect, Matt, this is the part that is so frightening, is how the Obama administration, with allies like McCain, have been ratcheting up the tension towards Russia, and I believe a lot of this has to do with what's going on in Syria. We have been on the wrong side in Syria. Now, you could make the argument that there's no side we should be on, and I'm certainly open to that. But we have been backing the forces, the Free Syria Army, which are directly connected to Al-Qaeda jihadists. There is no question about this. And in fact, what's happened is weapons have ended up in the hands of Al-Qaeda jihadists that were sent by America, weapons and money, that ended up in the hands of al-Nusra, which is the Al-Qaeda-linked group, who's al-Nusra is a group, they were part of a group called the Army of Conquest. They were the ones holding eastern Aleppo, and they just got their butt kicked out of there by by Syria and Russia. Now, we all know that the Obama administration has been firmly on the side of the jihadists in Syria, and so has John McCain. And you know who else has? The CIA. The CIA was actively training these quote-unquote rebels in Syria. Now, who's behind all the push to accuse Russia of being behind the hacking? Obama, John McCain, and the CIA. In fact, the allegation that this is Russian hacking comes from a leak that the CIA made to the Washington Post. That's where that initiated. But I want to point out two other things to our listeners that are super important here, Matt. I point them out in the story, which you can check. It was the most popular story on the site yesterday. And I think it really shows how interested the Breitbart readers are in hard news, because this is a hard news story. But I want to point out two things that are crucially important here. Number one, a few weeks ago, NBC reported that we put tanks back in Europe to, quote-unquote, teach Russia a lesson, and that we have boots on the ground coming in January. 2,000 to 4,000 troops will be in Eastern Europe to show Russia a lesson. I don't know how else to put it. That's what they're doing. Have you heard the mainstream media talking about the fact that 4,000 troops are going to be in Eastern Europe to challenge Russia in January, that's a done deal, that's happening?
No, I haven't seen this story on it anywhere.
I like that.
Right, exactly. And so what you have is you have a bunch of politicians in Washington who are I think, recklessly abusing their authority here. And they're certainly going against what the electorate would want if the electorate knew what was going on.
Now, the second big deal, Matt, is in the defense authorization bill last week. For the first time, the U.S. created a way to arm the Syrian rebels with what are called man pads. They're basically shoulder-operated anti-aircraft missiles, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, these man pads, as I point out in the story, were what the CIA has been reported in multiple sources, was using Benghazi to take man pads from Libya and then send them into Syria. That's in my story. But the big deal is, for the first time, they snuck it into the defense authorization. Obama snuck this in, that we can now, it creates a pathway to give those weapons, which are going to be used against
legally. They don't have to do it behind the scenes through, spooky tactics, right, like they were doing before.
That's right.
Right, and that's what our guys were doing there in Benghazi, right? Like, if everybody wants to know, like, why was our, why do we have a series of intelligence guys there, special forces guys, like Tonto Peranto, Chris Peranto, and Tig, and those guys, they were there doing that. I mean, they've made it very clear, right? I mean, I think they've said
they've
it in
their
book, right?
They have. They've been very clear. That's what it, mm-hmm. that's what it was. That's what they were doing. And
right.
The reason this is significant, again, and who was behind that? There's a reason that there is the secrecy about Benghazi, and that's exactly what it is. It's a CIA operation. Now, again, I don't think the American people have been sufficiently warned about this. You can find the data out there. When I say the mainstream media is reported, everything I link to are mainstream media reports. So Reuters will do a story, or NBC will do a story. But what we're doing at Breitbart, Matt, and nobody in the media is doing, is connecting the damn dots on this.
Mm-hmm. And Lee, this is going to get bigger and bigger, I think, moving forward. But the we're running out of time, so there's one other thing I wanted to bring up. Is because you had another big story this week, too, which is in the wake of Carrie Fisher, the Princess Leia actress, and her mother, another actress, both dying this week. We saw Charlie Sheen actually tweet out hoping that God would kill Donald Trump next. Tell us about that story.
Well, I mean, he put out a tweet right after, and, it generated a lot of interest. And sickeningly, Matt, it generated about 6,000 likes from people on Twitter. Now, a celebrity doesn't like Donald Trump. Why is that news? Who cares? I think the reason this is an important story is because it shows two things. Number one, the hypocrisy. If someone pointed this out, if James Woods had tweeted that out about Obama, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think the reaction would be? If a conservative actor had tweeted something like that out, people would go nuts. The Secret Service would be called. They'd be called everything in the book. But a leftist like Charlie Sheen can do it and get liked. He can get impunity. The second reason is this ties into the bigger story that people, so, you know, we know they're hypocrites. The other big story, though, is this really ties in to the war on free speech. Groups want to shut down speech as hate speech, right? They want to shut me and you down, Matt. They want to shut down what Breitbart readers can read. We know that. Well, guess what? When Charlie Sheen wishes for God to strike the president-elect dead, that's what I call hate speech. And the hypocrisy of the hate speech allegations needs to be really pointed out over and over and over again until they stop doing it. Because otherwise, we do face a real Orwellian threat from these people trying to shut down free speech in the name of shutting down hate speech.
All right, well, Lee Stranahan, I want to thank you for joining us here on Breitbart News Daily today.
But at the same time, Breitbart people would love to shut down people like me. Of course, they probably discount me as not having any pull at all, but still, they would like to shut down all guys who are straight out with the race issue, even at David Duke's. So that's Breitbart. And they talk out of two sides of their mouth. And I must say, and I hate to be offensive, but this guy who's the moderator here on Breitbart has got the worst radio voice I think I've ever heard. So that's my opinion. Well, advocacy groups push for better tracking of love crimes. Since Donald Trump was elected president, some police and advocacy groups have seen an increase in reports of attacks based on race, religion, gender, and sexual orientation. But if you're looking for a total number of hate crimes that took place in this U.S. year, that's one number that even the FBI can't provide with certainty. Every year, the famous but incompetent releases a national count on hate crimes from the previous year. Now, boys and girls, you got to understand that when people report a hate crime, many times it's not really adjudicated of whether it is a hate crime or not. Most of these things are just simple altercations that have nothing to do with race, just people with a bad attitude. But the in many cases, they list them as hate crimes, especially since a lot of cops just want to get it out of their hair. Its latest report released in November says that there were 5,850 hate crimes in 2015. But how do we know what the hell these all were? I mean, you know, there's some people going to report if you give them a bloody nose over something entirely different, they're going to report it as a hate crime. Cops come out, you think it's a hate crime, ma'am? Oh, yeah, this is a hate crime. But law enforcement officials, including the idiot U.S. attorney that evidently had sexual liaison with Bill Clinton on his airplane, will tell you the number is not exact. Well, I say that because Bill Clinton is not choosy about who he screws. I think his screwing days are coming slowly to an end, or maybe quickly to an end, because he has a bad heart. We know that there are many more hate crimes in communities, in all communities across the country, that go unreported. Well, then, how do you know if they're unreported? How do you know they're unreported? Lynch said during a speech in early December at a Muslim center meeting in Sterling, Virginia. That reminds me of the hacking charge against the Russians. Well, we know it's going on. Well, how do you know it's going on? Because we think it's going on. But has it? Do you have evidence? Well, that's all right. It's still going on. We know that for data collecting purposes, the famous but incompetent defines a hate crime as a criminal offense against a person or property motivated in whole or in part by an offender's bias against race, religion, disability, sexual orientation, ethnicity, gender, or gender identity. And they'll probably be stacking on several more titles as time goes on. Yeah. It's hate crimes report relies on police and sheriff's departments to send in numbers voluntarily. Oh boy, so you're mad because they're not doing it, huh? Those numbers help lawmakers determine how to allocate law enforcement resources. Now see, that's the lawmakers, and they're the ones that create all these kinds of laws, you know. They gotta have something to do. They're worthless bastards. Most of them are pedophiles anyhow, but the famous but incompetent tally is currently the most comprehensive national count of hate crimes. But Phyllis Gerstenfeld, author of Hate Crimes, Causes, Controls, and Controversies, warns against taking the number at face value because of the uneven reporting. Quote, you have to look at them with skepticism. They can be really useful for understanding trends and also for comparing. Wait a minute, where am I at here? During her speech, Lynch called for the better reporting and data collection, especially since hate crimes in 2015, including intimidation, assault, and vandalism, increased more than 6% compared to 2014. 6% of a dozen, how much is that? This reminds me of the Russians in their army. They'd send out a political officer along with the troops. And his job was to make sure that nobody said the wrong thing. No soldier happened to say something good about the enemy or anything like that. I forgot what to call them. The National Socialists had the same thing stashed in their ranks. Now what they need is to send a totally separate officer out with every cop just to analyze whether there was a hate crime. I mean love crime. Behind the pages of the report lie communities who are now more afraid than before, more afraid than any American should ever feel, Lynch said. They don't seem to be afraid of each other. They don't seem to be afraid of the black KKK up in Chicago that's killed almost 800 people this year. I'm sure most of them black. How come that the blacks not ever afraid of each other? Some advocacy groups are trying to quantify the sources of that fear faster than the FBI. After the election, the Southern Poverty Law Center. There's my friend, Moss D's man, started collecting reports of hate crimes, plus other types of harassment that fall outside of what the FBI considers a hate crime. Well, how about the crimes against white people? I don't see much said about that. Relying on news reports, social media, and submissions to their website, they try to verify independently. They've compiled reports of more than 1,000 incidents as of December 12th. Wow. Would that have anything to do with them collecting tremendous amounts of money from scared old ladies with millions in their bank account? Quote, look, we're just getting the tip of the iceberg, said Richard Cohen, the center's president. I've been right in the same room with that bastard a few times. But I'll bet he's driving a Maserati. But I think the trends of what we're seeing are very, very real. Most of the reported attacks targeting immigrants, invaders. And Cohen says overall attacks appear to be more widespread than ever. This has been a real boon to Morris D's, is the invasion of the Mexicans and Central European or North African immigrants. That's been a real boon to them. They're making a lot more money. People are telling us again and again that they've never seen anything like this in their neighborhoods, and they've never been the victims of anything like this before, he says. Wow. The number of new reports to the Southern Millionaires Law Center has declined since the election. But Cohen, I think he's Jewish, says he's worried about another uptick emerging around the time of Trump's inauguration. Yeah, I'm predicting it's going to get violent, and so it's going to get violent. For now, the Southern Poverty Millionaires Center plans to keep counting bias-related incidents, at least through January. See, but they're only looking for one kind of crime. Yeah, they're looking for one kind of crime, and primarily against so-called non-whites or minorities. Yeah, I wonder how that works. Not too well, I don't think. Trying to keep a verified count of these incidents has been taxing for the center and other advocacy groups. Yeah, they have to get off their ass and go out and find out who's being hate-crimed. Quote, sadly, you work longer hours. That's the only solution at this point, says Corey Saylor, director of the Council on American Islamic Relations Department to monitor and combat Islamophobia. Are you an Islamophobic? Yeah, it depends. Not if they're over there in their own country. And even not here if they're relatively peaceful. But that doesn't mean I like them being here. Another problem with counting hate crime Saylor adds is distrust of law enforcement officials that can lead to underreporting by targeting communities. Others may be overwhelmed by the number of attacks they receive. Well, I'm sure they'll dream up a few to get more publicity, because Morris Deese needs more money. In his retirement, I guess he's retired. He needs more money, man. Got to find more crimes. Crimes against the colored people. I'll tell you one thing, with outfits like the Morris Deese bunch, there will be more crimes against minorities, because they're part of what creates more crimes against minorities. Now, that piece was on NPR, and you know they never lie. Well, I'm disappointed because there's so many of these were hoaxes. You know, I was hoping they were all real, but it seems most of them, or a whole lot of them, were hoaxes. Hillary Clinton's post-election autopsy was ugly. The mainstream media tried to blame her loss on any number of things. But her campaign decided that the number one reason she lost was because of fake news. In the quest to paint Donald Trump and his supporters as the most vile, racist bigots God ever created, oh, makes me feel good. What Hillary called the basket of deplorables, I love being a deplorable. That's almost as good as being trailer trash. Yeah. They ran with every hate crime story they could get their hands on without actually doing their job and verifying the facts. Well, what the hell do you need facts? Thank God for our police and hospital workers, because without their records, a lot of these hoaxes would not have been debunked. But about the scores of Hillary supporters rioting in the streets chanting, "Not my president," and writing "Fuck Trump" on signs, hats, and anywhere else humanly possible? Or what about the anti-Trumpers using our tax dollars to turn public universities into massive cry centers for the precious snowflakes? I love chaos. Chaos makes me warm. The media never saw the Trump supporters before the election. Shock that he beat Hillary on election night. But the real absence of Trump supporters has been in the large number of hoaxes alleging hate crimes from them. In the race to be mainstream media's hate crime victim, because the rise of Trump, we've got a whole basket of sad and disturbing hoaxes to choose from. I think I've shared a few of you these stories before, but let's do it one more time. A black man was arrested for arson and vandalizing his own Negro American church a week before the election. He spray painted "Vote Trump" on the side of the church and then set his church on fire. Good man. Something tells me he wasn't singing Jesus, culture's set a fire worship song either. No, he wasn't. I don't know whether he was trying to help somebody collect the insurance or not, but that used to happen all the time. An 18-year-old Muslim woman claims she was robbed by two white men outside the University of Louisiana Lafayette campus, so we know they were racist. She said they took her wallet and took her hijab in the attack, and identified one of them as having a Trump hat. Well, she lied and was charged with filing a false report by the police. Huh. Black woman had a viral Facebook post alleging a group of white male Trump supporters harassed her at a gas station until the police started investigating. Then she deleted her post and recanted her story. Wow. A homosexual Canadian filmmaker said he was assaulted by Trump supporters election night at a bar, then beaten in the alleyway. He posted a bloodied picture of himself in an emergency room as evidence, saying that they smashed a beer bottle on his head along with several homosexual slurs. Turns out none of it's true. Check with the Santa Monica Police Department. An 18-year-old Muslim woman in New York City said she was attacked by three drunken men who screamed Donald Trump and called her a fucking terrorist, along with the get the hell out of the country. She said they tried to yank her hijab off, and no one on the train helped her out. Not only was this made up, but her excuse was that she lied to avoid the wrath of her parents' curfew punishment. Could this be classified as a Muslim-on-Muslim hate crime? It should be. Okay, here's the next one. Two Northwestern University freshmen spray-painted a racist, homophobic graffiti along with Trump's name inside the university's chapel, along with a few other derogatory things, defacing pictures of Muslim students and the word God. If you're going to do something like this, don't go for every single immature racist stereotype. Of course, they were freshmen. That was in the Chicago Tribune. Anti-Latino, anti-mestizo graffiti at Elon University that said, "Bye bye Latinos, hasta la vista," was done by a Latino student who later claimed it was a joke. Looks like the joke is on the media for not investigating before reporting. Yeah. This one is just bizarre. Police said a man faked a hate crime, set his ex-girlfriend's car on fire, and then staged his own abduction, using his own blood and writing KKK and Trump in an attempt to throw off the detectives. That was Orlando. A black female Bowling Green State University student claimed that white male students wearing Trump t-shirts threw rocks at her and yelled racist slurs the day after the election. It turns out, after a thorough investigation by police, she wasn't even in the location she said she was in, and she only continued to change her story. That was ABC TV. Three black students claimed to be attacked by white men on a bus, causing protests and outrage on the social media and their campus, even a tweet from the HRC. But it turned out that they were the aggressors on the bus, teaming up on a 19-year-old white woman. surprised they didn't blame Russia. That was in the New York Times. Like me, you probably feel more sorry for them for committing such bizarre crimes. No, I don't. How else can you justify supporting crooked Hillary? It's easy. But media, really? These stories were too good for you to be true. Let's do better in 2017. Well, I'm sure there's a lot more hoaxes like that. Well, everybody's denying that Putin and the Russians hacked into our election system and screwed Hillary Clinton. Well, I'm happy if he did. Yeah, I think it's great. If Putin was able to knock Hillary Clinton out of the saddle, he deserves all the respect I can get up for him. Now, one thing in this that story, too, comes out that, you mean the United States technocracy or technology is so bad that they can do it? I thought we were the number one guy on the block. We had all the answers. We had all the programs. We had all this stuff figured out. Sounds like somebody's been bullshitting somebody. After the announcement by Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, that Russia on Friday declared 35 U.S. diplomats persona non grata, 31 embassy personnel in Moscow and 4 in St. Petersburg consulate. Obama, you're such an asshole. President Putin decided to let them stay because he stated they preferred to just wait for January 20th when President Trump will take over and see what he'll do. This negated Putin's foreign minister, who stated earlier, "We, of course, cannot leave unanswered insults of this kind. Reciprocity is the law of diplomacy and foreign relations." Sounds like Putin doing everything he can to keep peace in our time. The Russian initial announcement followed President Obama's expelling 35 Russian intelligence agents. Why do we have 35 Russian intelligence agents here anyhow? How many? How are you going to keep track of 35? And sanctioning 5 Russian entities and 4 individuals for cyber attack on the DNC and on individual Democratic Party officials during the 2016 presidential campaign. Well, give me the evidence, man. Come on, we need some evidence. But really, I don't need it. I'm glad if you did. This is the earlier version of the story. The outgoing U.S. administration of Barack Obama are accusing Russia of every kind of mortal sin, Lavrov said, suggesting that the White House is trying to blame us for the failure of its foreign policy initiatives, among other things. Well, that's for sure. Obama has put forward additional accusations without any grounds whatsoever that the Russian state was behind the attempts to meddle in the U.S. election campaign, which led to the defeat of the Democratic candidate. Yesterday, the U.S. administration, without providing any facts or evidence, announced a new wave of sanctions against the Russian Federation. You know, Napoleon learned the hard way, and Uncle Adolf learned the hard way. Now, are they getting ready to learn the hard way the third time? I don't know. These guys are insane. They're insane. Don't fuck with the bear, man. Don't fuck with the bear. If I go into the woods, I don't fuck with the bear. Well, anyhow, that's what they're trying. That's why you have the worst government officials money can buy. Not only the bad, they're stupid. But this is what Obama said, the Presidente. Quote, "I have issued an executive order that provides additional authority for responding to certain cyber activity that seeks to interfere with or undermine our election process and institutions or those of our allies and partners," stated. In other words, I think what he's saying is, we're saying don't do that. When they don't have any proof it was done, but he can get off the hook by saying, don't do that. "Using this new authority, I have sanctioned 9 entities and individuals, the GRU and the FSB, 2 Russian intelligence services,
four individual officers at the GRU and three companies that provided material support to the GRU's cyber operations. Again, no proof. Again, no proof. Okay, here, three companies that provided material support to the GRU cyber operations. In addition, the Secretary of Treasury is designating two Russian individuals for using cyber-enabled means to cause misappropriation of funds and personal identifying information. Well, that's about as clear as mud. Over the past year or so, the State Department has been complaining that the Russian government is harassing American officials. See, I hate that State Department. State Department is the very worst, sinister area of the U.S. government. And every bit of problems that are coming to the United States and our citizens, most of it originates in that State Department. They're complaining that the Russian government is harassing American officials. Well, if some of these Jews and other smart-ass, even white boys, came to my country and pushed their weight around, I'd give them hell, too, and kick their ass. See, these guys go overseas and they push people around, and American people don't even know it. Don't push the bear around, man. Well, he gets to accuse all these people and get people fired and screw up their families and everything else. And what's he going to do? He's got some rich bastard, probably a homosexual, there in Washington, D.C., that's going to give him a big house free to live in. In Washington, D.C. Because he plans to be a troublemaker from here on in, that old Obama. He ain't going back to Chicago because they'd probably kick his ass or cap him back in Chicago. Looks like Putin's playing it just right. He's just sort of saying, like, whatever. Whatever, Obama. Whatever. Well, this Jewish member of the DNC that got gunned down six months ago, Seth Rich, was gunned down in a dark Washington street. Now, guess who did it? The first two guesses are free. His father, Joel, still says the Kaddish, according to the Jewish press, the Jewish prayer for the dead every day, and he hasn't come back to life yet. So they need to conjure up Jesus if they want that. The rabbi says he shouldn't stop until he's ready. Wait a minute. The rabbi says he shouldn't stop until he's ready. I don't understand that. But Joel and Mary Rich are grieving for their son, a 27-year-old staffer at Democratic National Committee, whose murder remains a mystery. When's the last time that happened? What's his name? Hillary's boyfriend? Under circumstances that most mourning parents do not have to consider. From their home in Omaha, Nebraska, they follow closely the barrage of conspiracy theories, lies, and allegations thrown out. Whoa. Just a minute here, I lost that. Theories falsely trying to tie his murder to email leaks from the Democratic Party sprouted shortly after Seth Rich was killed and spread quickly in the overheated atmosphere of the presidential campaign. Well, did we know for sure? Didn't have anything to do with the emails? Quote, I thought after Trump got elected, they'd go away, because that was the whole point of them against the Clintons, said Mary Rich. But they're not going to go away. They're still at it. The persistence of these rumors and their sickly reemergence has made healing all the harder for the Rich parents. Now, this guy doesn't look Jewish at all as far as physically. He looks like a normal middle-class white boy who spoke to the Forward by phone on December 21st, quote, there's a grieving and then there's trying to defend your son's legacy, said Joel Rich. And that's where, in a way, we're fighting two or three battles, unquote. Seth Rich's murder is still an open case for police homicide investigators in Washington, D.C., who are no closer now than solving the mystery than they were in the days following the July 10th murder. Well, that gives you your biggest clue when they don't find the perpetrator for months in a city like Washington, D.C. Brings up big questions, doesn't it? Like that outfit that calls itself CIA, maybe? Or professional hit? Or he knew something that he should have known? The lack of suspects and of absence of clear motivation? Or was it just a nigger gone crazy on Saturday night? They do that a lot. The lack of suspects and of absence of clear motivation has created fertile ground for conspiracy theorists. See how they try to poo-poo all conspiracy theorists? Well, some conspiracy theories are right. So you're going to throw them all out? Reveling in the new world of fake news. Well, you see, this whole term fake news is created by the corporate press. In other words, to say that everything is, that is not corporate press is fake news. For them, the key to understanding this tragic event rests in the searching the presumed dark political motives of powerful players, or for some reason the theorist will surely ferret out sought to silence Rich. Well, are you going to rule that out? The parents of Rich? You're going to rule out all that stuff? The one so-called fake news you throw out may be the truth. The family private investigators and the D.C. police flatly reject these theories as false. Well, they did the same thing too. I can't think of the guy's name who got murdered in Washington several years ago. Another Democrat buddy. Yeah. Quote, there is no indication that Seth Rich's death is connected to his employment at the DNC. Well, no, not until you dig it up, the D.C. police said in an August 10th statement aimed at debunking the conspiracy theories. Remember the other guy, and I'll remember his name after the show's over, but the D.C. police said the same thing about him, even though he was found, found in a car? Yeah, found in a car when he was evidently shot, laying flat on the ground, or one of... It was a very mysterious thing, and I know that. And nobody seems to be going after that. And that's the D.C. police and the Capitol police, too. They can be shut up real easy by the usual suspects. You know, I think they spend more time debunking so-called conspiracy theories than they do investigating the case. What do you think? Rich worked as the director of voter expansion data at the DNC, in charge of developing computer applications that would help bring more voters to their polling stations. He was not only liked by all his caring, inclusive and idealistic character. They always say that about people. Nobody hated him. They just, somebody killed him, but nobody hated him. But was also well appreciated for his professional work and had just gotten an offer to join the Clinton campaign to work on advancing something here. Let's see what that is. Voter data operations. The murder took place not far from Rich's home in Washington's Bloomingdale neighborhood. Rich, according to police, suffered multiple gunshot wounds after fighting with his attackers and died in the hospital. Well, at least he gave him a fight. The police investigation focused on robbery as the likely motive for the attack. Well, I would say so, too. initially, but if they spread enough reward money around D.C., don't tell me they can't get a snitch going. The area had been plagued by similar incidents. A broken watch strap on Rich's wrist supported this direction. But, well, he was fighting them. Of course he could. His wristwatch could be broken. That doesn't mean anything. But the fact that none of his belongings were taken raised doubts on whether it was indeed a clear case of robbery gone wrong. But tell me, if they offer 50 grand or 100 grand, are you telling me if it's a common street thug, he won't come forward? Bullshit. Of course, they are Jewish, and they may not want to spend $100,000. Mary and Joel Rich believe that the murderers wanted to rob their son, who was talking on his cell phone minutes before the attack. Quote, "He was at the wrong place at the wrong time," said Joel Rich. Sounds like the father wants to put it to bed, or maybe somebody's talked to him real sternly. Who believes the attackers didn't expect the victim to fight back and therefore pulled a gun? When Seth turned and fought both of them, I'm sure it shook them to the core. They brought out a gun, said Mary Rich, which might not have been too bright of... you got to hand it to the guy for fighting back, but on the other hand, perhaps he might have been better off to not get him so excited that they draw a gun. Quote, "They have no scruples. They have no care that they have took a life," unquote. These guys, these diggers don't care where they take your life. These people live in a la-la land. The investigation, however, has all but hit a dead end. Yeah, because the investigation is not really working it. They're not working it door-to-door. With the doubts about the exact circumstances and no eyewitnesses to the event, which took place at 4:20 a.m. Now, what's a white boy doing walking around D.C. at 4:20 a.m.? I'm sorry. Shouldn't be no problem. You should be able to walk around anywhere you want. In D.C., which is what, 70% nigger? To be walking around at 4:20 in the a.m., not too bright. Very little surveillance video available. Investigators found only a few leads, none which developed yet into a possible breakthrough. I'll bet there's people you could send to Washington, D.C. could find this guy in a week. The right kind of investigators, the right kind of cops, the no-nonsense types. Even there's a couple of them I've seen on these crime documentaries on TV that they could probably figure it out. Rich's parents, while still expressing their full trust in the D.C. police investigation, wrong, that's a mistake, have also explored alternative routes to reach the truth about their son's death. Wow. They should bring the Mossad in to help him out. Jack, well, maybe the Mossad did it. I mean, you know, Jack Berkman offered one such alternate route. A Washington Republican lobbyist and lawyer, Berkman offered his help with a financial reward for anyone who could offer new information on the case. The award, $105,000 donated by Berkman, in addition to the initial $25,000 put up by the police, was meant to convince neighbors, bystanders, or anyone who holds information on the case to come forward and use the money for relocating from D.C. if in danger. Well, that should have changed things. As far as I'm concerned, that points more to a political hit. If they've offered $125,000 on the street and nobody's come forward, that tells me it was a political hit for some reason. He was into something, or he knew something. Yep. Maybe I'll go to Washington, D.C. and collect that reward, find out who did it. I bet if I walked around the nigger town with money hanging out of my pockets, of course, with a Mac 10 in my on my back, I could probably find out pretty quick. But I don't think that's where it came from. This effort has yet to yield any result, as in the case with a door-to-door canvassing drive last month that brought Mary and Joel Rich to Washington, but did not help with gaining any new leads. Now Berkman is relying on the work of two private investigators he hired in hopes of casting a wider net than that of the police and spending more time and energy in pursuit of possible clues. I promise Mr. and Mrs. Rich that we will solve it, and we will solve it. Okay. Well, they've hired two private investigators, but that doesn't mean shit, because you've got private investigators, and then you've got private investigators. I've known a few, and most of the ones I knew weren't worth a shit. They were just do simple jobs and divorce cases and things like that. So saying you got two investigators on the job, private investigators, doesn't mean anything to me. It's the kind of investigator you got. Sometimes rich people aren't as smart as you think. Though working closely with Rich's parents, Berkman holds a different approach when looking at possible motives behind the murder. Quote, "It's not a robbery gone wrong. It's no kind of happenstance," he stated. "It was a premeditated homicide." Well, Negroes and others do those kinds of things, but, you know, not always. I mean, you know, he may have resisted, okay, he probably did resist, but some of these black guys on the street know enough they don't want to get into a homicide. "This was a premeditated homicide," he says, "but Berkman does not believe this motivation was political, or that the conspiracy theories surrounding the case carry any weight." Well, why? Why? You have no idea who did it. Why do you say that? You don't know that. Just because you think it's more acceptable to the public? Oh, no, these conspiracy theories. They're all crazy kooks. They don't know anything. They don't know nothing, man. Anonymous internet trolls and right-wing bloggers, there you go, were not the only ones who spun and spread these theories. Former House Speaker Newt Gingrich backed them, and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange repeatedly suggested that Rich's murder could be tied to the leak of DNC emails to WikiLeaks. It sure as hell could. In late October, weeks before the elections, right-wing television personality Tommy Lathren, who I've never heard of, sought to revive the story, suggesting the Clintons may have had a hand in the murder. Well, that's possible. that's absolutely possible. Not probable, but possible. Rich's parents vehemently reject the logic behind these speculations. Why? Saying that even if Seth would have come under information alleging wrongdoings in the DNC, he would never have leaked it to an outside source. Well, you don't know. You don't always know your son or your daughter, your kid. Many times they're all wrapped up in something you have no idea what's going on. Quote, "They didn't know Seth," said Joel Rich, "and you probably didn't either," who argued that his son would have worked within the system to achieve justice. Boy, this guy, I like to sell this guy the Brooklyn Bridge. Quote, "We lost our son, our 27-year-old son, and that just rips your heart out, and you're trying to go through the process and live your life and do things that he would have been proud of, and foster his desires and his beliefs, and then you hear criminals like Assange, he's a national hero, you asshole, who are making money and are making shots at him. Assange, believe me, I don't believe he's making lots of money. You can't defend," said Mary Rich. These are political people. They're going to go down the political trail, no matter what. She and her husband have publicly pled with those spreading the conspiracy theories regarding their son's death to put an end to the rumors, but to no avail. Well, people have an opinion. And a lot of them are goofy, crazy, but it only takes one. The riches, hoping for answers that could move them towards achieving a sense of closure, are also working to commemorate Seth's memory. A scholarship fund named for Seth Rich was set up at his hometown synagogue, Beth El of Omaha, which his grandfather founded. His father served as president of the synagogue. Another endowed scholarship was established at Camp Rama in Wisconsin, and another at Creighton University, where Rich studied. But he's dead. You can set up all the shit you want. He's dead. I'm sure he'll be real thrilled about that. He's down there under the ground saying, "Wonderful, wonderful." He wanted to make a difference, said Joel Rich, trying to sum up his son's mission in life. Well, you don't make a difference by going to Washington, I'll tell you that, unless you're going in there with an army to take care of things. Mary Rich believes that Seth, if he were alive today, would speak out against the hatred she sees spreading across the country. Well, I think she should speak out about the hatred of the guys that blew her son away. Concentrate on those and what color they might have been. We don't want to touch that third rail, fifth rail, or whatever rail. Seth would look out at the world and write posts, and I really think that right now he'd look out at all the craziness and hatred, and he would tell people to stop hatred, stop the viciousness and lies, and get back to democracy. Well, democracy is the origin of most hatred and lies, because it creates such division. It doesn't. So-called democracy doesn't bring people together. It separates people. His mother said, "I could see Seth typing out a little something about this." Well, Seth is dead, and they have had a couple of scholarships created for him. And 6 months from now, it'll all be over. He'll be forgotten. Mom and Dad are satisfied. It's no conspiracy. They don't want to get brought up into that stuff. And they'll poo-poo every piece of investigation that comes up if it's not stamped kosher. And so they don't give a shit. Technically, they don't give a shit about the kid, because they don't realize how dirty Washington, D.C. is. That's my opinion, and I'm sticking to it.